Hello and welcome to part four of our digestion assessment module. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm really excited to present this part to you because it's about organic acid testing and how you can use the markers on the organic acid test to assess the status of a person's digestion in terms of microbes and toxins that are being produced by those microbes.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
This test actually looks for byproducts of intestinal fermentation, bacterial overgrowth, yeast overgrowth. If you're looking to see where to order these tests and you want to run one on yourself so you can play around with the interpretation on yourself first, I would check out the various places and find where you think you're going to get the best price performer, so to speak. So a little bit of background on where the organic test came from and how long it's been around. It actually first got it started using it, labs started using it in the 1960s, but they mostly used it to look at inborn errors of metabolism, like genetic disorders like PKU, phenylketonuria, or methylmalonic urea. And that what they're basically looking at is PKU is a disease where people don't process phenylalanine, the amino acid phenylalanine, properly, and they have a buildup of this metabolic waste that's very toxic, and it can cause mental retardation, among other things. So they were looking for these inborn errors of metabolism, but and hundreds of labs do these. Commercial labs will do them, but they just look for inborn errors. They don't do all the extra metabolic pathways. Great Plains and Metametrics Genova use it to test for things like dysbiosis. Do you have bacterial overgrowth? Do you have clostridia growing? Do you have yeast byproducts in your gut, and they're showing up in the urine? They look at energy metabolism. They look at the glycolysis pathway and also the Krebs cycle. Also looks at vitamin and mineral metabolism. It also looks at folate metabolism, methylation, so specific things that relate to folic acid and buildup of certain products that often happen when people have a methylation defect like the MTHFR defect, which we'll talk about when we do the nutrigenomics more detailed, and also ketones and fatty acid oxidation, so that we're looking at byproducts to see is this person producing a lot of ketones, which could mean that they're either on a very low carbohydrate diet or they have insulin resistance going on big time. And then fatty acid oxidation, which are byproducts of fatty acid metabolism. So what I wanted to do here is show you an example. She's a 75-year-old female. She has hypertension that just isn't responding to medication. She is anxious beyond belief. She's constantly stressed out. Everything that happens to her, she overreacts. She knows about heart mass. She has an M wave. She just isn't integrating it into her life. She's not able to control the anxiety. She's not able to control the hypertension. She's celiac, but she's controlled. She has been off gluten for many, many, many years. And she doesn't even think she's had an accidental exposure, because she knows when she's had accidental exposures in the past how badly she responds. I've known her for quite a number of years. She comes to see me a couple of times a year when she gets frustrated with not getting well from the hypertension on the medication. And she also suspects she has the MTHFR gene because, well, she most likely does, because her daughter got tested, and her daughter she's homozygous, meaning she has both genes that are deficient in the MTHFR, which is methylation pathway, which affects folic acid metabolism. So the daughter has both, and it's assumed that she got one from mom and one from dad, so mom assumes she has at least one of those genes. And so she has been
supplementing, and her daughter's a nurse practitioner, so her daughter told her exactly what, you know, what to take and how to do it and exactly what she's doing. So she has been taking methylated folate, very large doses, like anywhere from 2 to 5 grams a day, which is milligrams a day. And folic acid, the RDA, I think, is like 400 micrograms. So she's been taking a lot of folic acid. And then she's also been taking methylated B12 and some other cofactors that we've added here and there. Like, she just started taking CoQ10, and I talked to her about SAMI. I don't know if she's actually done it. This is something you'll find when you're working with people. You can give them a list of things that you recommend that they do. Whether or not they do it is up to them. This is what the report looks like. The first top part of the first page, fungal and microbial overgrowths. And what we see is that she has all these markers, the 5-hydroxymethyl-2-furoic, which is number 2, number 4, furan-2-5-dicarboxylic. You don't need to memorize the pathways that these flow in. You just need to be able to understand how this fits in. And I will show you a metabolic pathway, and I'll give you the specific explanations for what each of these mean and what how they come about. And these are taken from that interpretation guide that I told you to look at, that clinical interpretation guide. So she's got 2, she's got 4, she's got 6, 7, 8, 9, and all of these are high. And if we look, I want to give you a little bit of an explanation of how they mark this. So they give you a range that's about the 50% range, and then they give you the 95 percentile, which is all the way out. You know how we really like people to be in the centers, so we kind of look at there's a problem if it comes out of that nice range. But on some of these, she fell outside of that range, but the lab didn't flag it because she was still within 95 percentile. So the 95 percentile is what's used as the typical range. It doesn't necessarily mean it's optimal or ideal. So for her, she's just fine on this citromalic. But look how high she is. The range is, it's supposed to be less than 14. She's way up to 20. So she's got almost like a 33% increase in that. And then the same thing with the number 4. She's way over the top. 6, 7, 8, 9. She's way over the top, which means she's got a lot of toxicity going on as a result of the toxins in her gut that are being produced by the bacterial, the yeast overgrowth. This first set is yeast and fungal. The second set we'll look at are the bacterial. So what I want to do is show you, this is exactly from that interpretation guide, and it explains what like citromalic acid means, that it's produced by Saccharomyces and our propionibacteria overgrowth. Okay, so when you get somebody on a high good probiotics, it can help these a lot. So a person that has the profile that she's showing needs to be on an anti-yeast program with some strong herbs to get rid of the yeast and the funguses. In addition, she needs to be supplementing with probiotics to restore her own normal flora. Mm-hmm. The second one is aspergillus and other fungal infections. Third one is, it's just a general, it's a general indication of yeast and not a specific strain. The fourth one, again, aspergillus and possibly other funguses. The fifth one, again, aspergillus and other funguses. So they're all very similar. And what you want to do is make sure that you know like the various and sundry anti-candida, anti-fungal types of herbs that we can do. So we'll go through these. And I'm actually going through these rather quickly because we could spend 6 or 7 hours. I attended a class on this that was, I think, it must have been 6 hours of video on this particular test. So we can go much deeper, but we just want you to get an overview, look at it, and the more you do it, the better you're going to be able to interpret it. Tartaric acid is a production of candida. So we want to look at that, and this particular one can actually be damaging the membrane. So she can actually be boring holes into her membrane. So we really want to get these under control, given that she had 6 different indicators for these yeasts. So arabinose is another, it's produced by candida, and it's produced in that intercellular cement. That's the glue, basically, the intercellular spaces that keep the gut from becoming leaky, those intracellular spaces. So some of the things they're saying could be confounding is that arabinose is a sugar in apples, grapes, and pears, so they avoid these 24 hours prior to the urine collection, and they tell you that in the instructions. So the person was instructed to stay away from apples, grapes, and pears within the 24 hours, so you're not getting a false positive, basically. Okay, so again, most of these are saying the approach is going to be antifungal, anti-yeast treatment, you know, with herbs and with foods, and really good diet without sugars and without dried fruits and all, so that you don't feed the yeast, and then probiotics, and really high doses of probiotics and probiotic foods, of course. So again, more yeast markers. Again, carboxy citrate, she had this one in the tricarbolic acid. They're released from the various funguses, and they give you the specific kinds of funguses. So if you want to look at, do some research and find out if that particular fungus, verticilloides, but that those particular ones, you want to find out more about it. In this particular case, this particular fungus is elevated because it could be corn or corn-based foods that they tend to get contaminated with this particular organism. So you may want to ask the person if they're eating a lot of corn type of products. This is basically what the lab will give you in terms of interpretation. And it basically says, you know, high yeast fungal markers, the 1 through 8. If you have any of those high, it indicates a yeast or fungal overgrowth. And what you want to do is either prescription or natural botanical antifungals, high potency probiotics. They say 200 to 50 billion CFUs. I would probably go for at least that, and maybe 50 billion several times a day in a situation like this where she had 6 of these markers high. And then they're specifically about the tricarbolic, they talk about the corn, you know, and how that's particularly related. So you want to find out if this person's eating a lot of corn and get them off of that so they don't keep contaminating that. And that's basically that. So this is a flow chart that came from the Metametrics. So the Metametrics had a lot better flow chart. So I'm inserting some of their flow charts into this analysis, even though I did the lab report through the Great Plains. And I've given you this, and this is the particular one that says organics dysbiosis. What I've tried to do is pull some of the pertinent points in and insert it as we're going through this report. This just shows you kind of a little bit about how these are calculated. You look at dietary polyphenols and sugars get converted to bacteria, and then these bacteria produce these various and sundry types of products. So you've got, in particular, Clostridia, and we'll look to see. I think she had several indicators that said she probably has some Clostridia. So we're really going to have to look at cleaning up her gut big time. And we know that a toxic gut can affect your mental state. This could be affecting her blood pressure. This could be affecting her anxiety levels. So the next part is still the malabsorption part. So these are more bacterial. The first group were the fungal and the yeast markers. These are more bacterial. Again, she's got a lot of high ones. She's got 10 and 11 and 13 and 16. So 10, 11, 13, and 16. And we can look when we go to the description of those as to what those mean. And that's why I gave it to you this way. So if you get a report, you'll be able to go through and interpret. I put the numbers next to, these are the marker number within the Great Plains report. So in Great Plains, number 10 is the 2-hydroxyphenyl acetic acid. And it just makes it easier when you're going through the report to be able to cross-reference those. And this one is elevated, and it's associated with just general bacteria. So this doesn't have anything specific to talk about. Number 11 is a tyrosine metabolite of GI bacteria. So when these bacteria are overgrown, then the byproduct of the amino acid tyrosine will create this problem. So this particular metabolic byproduct. So these are general. She had both of these, 10 and 11. These are general bacterial overgrowth. Just look at that. It says may indicate celiac disease. Okay. So in her case, we know she has it. She's been tested long, long time ago. Conventional doctor picked it up. It's full-blown celiac that she has. But if you didn't know that,
this would be an indicator that this person is not tolerating gluten, and you'd be talking to this person about getting rid of the gluten. Okay? So number 12 and 13, so this one, number 12 is the 4-hydroxybenzoic acid that can be as a result of eating foods that have paraben type preservatives. And you'd want to be asking them about that and talking to them about avoiding. We all want people to avoid paraben containing foods because those are not, they're not good for you. So, but find out more about that because that could cause this marker to be high. The number 13, which she also has, is again a metabolite of paraben. So you'd be asking the person about those exposures in addition to trying to get things down in terms of the bacterial overgrowth. And there's a lot of possibilities for using botanically and food-wise to help with bacterial overgrowth. Garlic is great, oregano, berberine, olive leaf, they're all really good at helping to restore the normal state, plus all the probiotics and the probiotic foods. So 14 and 15, these are not positive in our case, our test case. But again, hippuric acid is a byproduct of phenylalanine metabolism. So when you're not properly, when you have too much bacteria in there, instead of actually utilizing your phenylalanine, say, to produce tyrosine and thyroid hormone and norepinephrine, you are utilizing the bacteria are feasting on the phenylalanine, which would cause you to have maybe possibly have a deficiency. She does not have this in her case as well. So, and also it can be a breakdown of something called chlorogenic acid. And this can be found in beverages. So you want to find out if there's an exposure there, find out more about what that is. And every time you do one of these, you're not going to memorize everything in this test. Every time you do one, you're going to learn more and more based on what you find. It'll take you, literally take you years to really have this test under your belt, years and doing a lot of them. But what I'm giving you here is an overview so that you can feel more comfortable when you get these reports and go, oh my God, do I really want to do this? And really have an understanding of when you might want to do it. You're not going to run these on everybody. First of all, it's expensive. It's about $300 or $400. But on the other hand, you want to know when to run it. Like in this particular case, I said, you know, we need to see what's going on inside. Okay. Number 16, which is succinic acid, and she had high levels of succinic acid in her case, and it can also indicate a deficiency of riboflavin or CoQ10. Succinic acid, while it's a byproduct of bacterial fermentation, is also part of the Krebs cycle, and it's dependent on riboflavin and CoQ10. So if you have a buildup of succinic acid, it means that the body's getting stuck there, or it's being produced by bacterial degradation. And this could be interesting because if the person has leaky gut and they're taking a glutamine supplement, but they have bacterial overgrowth, that glutamine supplement may not be helping them to repair their gut. Yeah, so if she's got this bacterial degradation, she's taking the glutamine, it's not really being utilized to repair her gut. The bacteria are having a feast on it and creating excess succinic acid. And if she actually has low levels, she might need leucine or isoleucine because those are utilized, but also she may have a problem with some of the B vitamins. Again, we're still looking at these bacterial, there's 20 of these. Number HPHPA, which is 3-3-hydroxyphenyl-3-hydroxypropionic acid. These are mouthfuls. That's why they give them abbreviations. Again, related to phenylalanine metabolism and Clostridia. So if she has Clostridia and she's been exposed to Clostridia, she may be having this problem, even if her stool test did not see the Clostridia. So it may be low enough level that it's not showing up and culturing in the stool, but it's showing up in terms of this toxic metabolite. Okay. And they're basically saying there's a specific supplement, there's a specific probiotic called Culturelle that is supposedly was designed to get rid of Clostridia. Now, the Culturelle, I haven't used it because it's doesn't say it's dairy-free. Now, in conversation with the doctor consultant over at the lab, she said that they've not found any traces of dairy, even though they can't say it's dairy-free because it was grown on dairy, and that people with dairy intolerance can use this Culturelle, and it helps with Clostridia, very specific. But you can also use Saccharomyces boulardii, and Saccharomyces boulardii is a really good, it's a spore-type form of a probiotic. It's not a normal inhabitant, but it tends to crowd out the abnormal inhabitants and helps you with restoring bacterial calm to there. So 4-Kreosol is, again, an indication for Clostridia. And the DHPPA, again, the chlorogenic acid, so we'd be looking at that. Again, all of these things are indicating that we need to clean up her gut. We need to get her on probiotics, probiotic foods. We need to get rid of any of the refined carbs and the sugars that feed these overgrowths and get her on some good antimicrobial support to get rid of some of the bad guys, basically. Things like oregano, olive seed extract, berberine, etc. All of that's related to the dysbiosis, the gut stuff, and the 19 markers. So this is what they gave in her report. They said that she had a high 10, which is associated with intestinal bacteria overgrowth, very generic. She had a high marker 11, which is the tyrosine byproduct, and it may indicate celiac. So basically, it's repeating what was in there. Some of these go into more detail than what's in the general description, which is why I've included them, and some of them just are very generic and repeat it. The markers 12 and 13 that she's got a problem high is maybe due to, of course, it's saying again, the parabens, the bacterial overgrowth, that you want to be looking to see if she's having skin reactions. Some people who have skin reactions as a result of dysbiosis in the gut, it could be because of some of the stuff that's going on here in the parabens and et cetera. And also, it can be a problem with inhibiting one of the ATPase activities in people with renal problems. So that's something we're going to be looking at her, and this may be related to her hypertension, right? If there's something that's relating to her kidneys, then it may be contributing to her hypertension. So cleaning up her gut could help her blood pressure go down finally. Cleaning up her gut could help with